you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can visit us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us on your radio dial at Heaven 97 KHVN in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. Or you can get us streaming live on the internet at true-church.org. I just thank you for dropping by and listening to this broadcast this Sunday morning. Last week, we had a very powerful message for fathers during Father's Day. So many responses. People were blessed by it. And I thank you that sent in donations and people that were blessed sent in donations. And we encourage you to send in donations to our broadcast to help keep us on the air. Of course, we offer this free. We even offer the downloads of these messages free. You can go to true-church.org and download any one of them for free. It won't cost you a thing. And you can put them in your iPod, on your computer. You can burn a CD, pass it around, whatever. But I just want these messages to be available to the body of Christ so that people can get insight into what the Word of God is saying. And I want to jump right into this special message that I want to deal with this particular Sunday. And it is the subject of deliverance. And it is maybe not the deliverance you're thinking of. You know, usually when you say deliverance, we think of deliverance service where someone has a demon cast out of them or whatever the case may be. But I want to talk about walking in deliverance. I want to talk about God really delivering us and we walking in deliverance. You know, growing up in a country church, you know, the phrase deliverance was always used as delivered. And most people would testify and say how God delivered them. He delivered me from crack. He delivered me from sleeping around. He delivered me from fornication. He delivered me from homosexuality. Whatever the sin was that was prevalent in the sinner's life, when they became a believer, they claimed to be delivered by God from it. And there is a truth to that, definitely. There is deliverance that comes. But I would like to suggest that we begin to be careful at how we use the word delivered versus the word deliverance. Delivered from sin, death, and hell comes when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're already delivered in the end. You will go back with Jesus Christ. You will be raised from the dead to join him in the air. Those are things that come when you are delivered from the sin life, from being born into sin. You are delivered completely by salvation. Salvation saves you. But there are struggles that we have in our lives. There are struggles sometimes that we even bring into our Christian walk. And these are the things that we need to make sure we are delivered from. We need to make sure deliverance is taking place. And we got to understand the word deliverance first so we can understand what actually is taking place. I want to use two real short scriptures to start this off. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, who was Paul talking to? Paul was talking to the church at Galatia. He was talking to the Galatians. He was talking to a church. He was talking to believers. And he's telling believers that are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. He's telling them, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill That means you will not perform or do the lust of the flesh, or you will not act on the lust of the flesh. Now, why would he be telling believers that if the believers were delivered from it? Well, the believers are delivered unto the end, but deliverance that comes in our daily walk with Christ, this is what Paul is talking about. Also, Galatians 5:25, even after he lists the sins of the flesh, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, so he's saying two things here. He's letting you know that we live in the Spirit by choosing Christ as our personal Savior. Christ being a spirit being, we live in him. So we live in the Spirit, he's saying, but let us also walk in the Spirit, meaning that these are two separate things. We can live in the Spirit, but we can walk after the flesh. So we have to walk in the Spirit if we live in the Spirit. I hope you're getting a good picture of where I'm going with this, because this is very important. This is very vital for our walk, our successful walk in Christ, our successful stand. When we make a stand for Jesus Christ in our lives, when we stand against sin, when we stand against all the things that we were once into, we need to learn these principles. We need to know how to live in the Spirit and walk also in the Spirit. We need to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, let me say a couple of things about deliverance real quick so we can get a good understanding of this perspective. Deliverance is a state of walking, not a condition of being. Now, understand this. This is very important. It is a state of walking, meaning deliverance is something that you're walking out daily. You know, I love being filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember when I got filled. I remember when I got filled again. I remember when I got filled again. Some of the times I don't remember. Why? Because I want to constantly be filled. I want to constantly be overpowered by the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost to come in me when I need it. I want the Holy Ghost to come in me to help me overcome trials and temptations. I want him to come in me in that hour of temptation when I don't know what to say and what to do. I want him to come in me and give me what to say and speak through me. I want prophetic anointing. I want these things to happen in my life so I can't limit God to a one-time infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I know a lot of times we like to say that, well, I was filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 20. Well, now you're 40. You haven't experienced the Holy Ghost power infilling you since then. It needs to be something that is ongoing, something that we seek after, something that we desire from God so we can be effective in the work we are doing. There's times that will come into your life when you're going to need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. You're going to need it right at that instant, and you can't go off of a 20-year fix of it. You have to get it right then, a fresh anointing, because you may be dealing with something. You need the power of God to come into you and to rescue you from a situation. So deliverance, listen to this, is a state of walking. It is something we walk out. It's something that we desire constantly. We need to keep being delivered. So when you say, hey, I used to be on crack, but I'm totally delivered. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that you don't have the taste for it, that you'll never use it again? Well, that's good. God bless you. I'm glad that God is delivering you from that. But don't you understand that some people have been delivered just like you, and the smell of it might turn something on, or the thought of it, and they have to constantly battle, even in their mind and in their heart. They have to do battle. They have to fight the enemy and say, you know what? I'm not going back. You know what? I'm not going to let this tempt me. You know what? I'm not going to even go and deal with this right now. I cast this out. I got to take these thoughts captive. I got to take them prisoner, and I got to lock them away, because I'm not going to struggle with this anymore. That is real-time deliverance. That means that it is not a condition of being, but it is a state of walking. You walk in deliverance. You walk being delivered. To be delivered is to walk in the Spirit that delivers you in the time of testing and trials. James 1:12 tells us, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. That is what we have to do. If you were to fall into temptation, you got to get up out of temptation. You got to repent and turn from it and not allow that to happen again. With the power of God, you have to do that. You got to let the Spirit of God deliver you in that time. Now, why am I saying this? Because I want to bust up some myths, y'all. I want to bust up some myths that are in the church where people feel like that if they make a mistake, or if, you know, they go back an error or something like that, that they are no longer delivered. You're not delivered because you came out. You must not be delivered. That is not the case. Deliverance, because it is a state of walking, if you were to stumble on that walk, it does not mean you're not delivered. It just means you stumbled as you walked. Now, sure, we want to try our best. Sure, we want to fight temptation with all that is in us. But if you happen to, the Bible says you have an advocate with the Father. So if you happen to fall, if you happen to stumble, if you happen to relapse, if you happen to go back or even desire to go back, it does not mean you're no longer delivered. So you pick up the pieces at that point and you get back where you were. You don't waddle around, because that's what happens when people feel like they've fallen out of deliverance and I'm no longer delivered. Then they go back to the sin and they stay in that state. I want to let you know that you're no longer in that state as long as you confess that you are delivered, and delivered is a state of walking. Now listen to this. Deliverance is done by the Spirit, not by your will. So your willpower is not going to cut it. You're not strong enough to fight with carnal weapons. You have to fight to do right, and the Spirit of God gives us power to overcome temptation. That is where we get the power, not your will, not your ability. Sure, you want to stand up to that sin and say, I declare that as long as God empowers me to, I'm not going to fall, I'm not going to stumble again. But there may be times when you're tempted to. There may be times when you may stumble. You have to understand that does not make you not delivered. You're still delivered. Get up, get back where you were, repent, and don't go back anymore. Confess that you are walking out your deliverance. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. That means that strongholds come into our lives, but with the power of God, the mighty power of God, we can overcome it, not by our willpower. Listen, our willpower won't cut it. We don't have the power. We don't have the strength. So though we confess that we're going to try our best to do what's right, you don't have the strength to walk this thing out on your own. It's going to take the power of God. This is why people like to go to churches where there's no power operating, because they can lie down and not walk in deliverance. If there's somewhere where the power of God is not in operation, or the power of God is not taught, or the presence of God is not even there, it's a carnal building, then the only thing people have there to deal with problems and situations are carnal means. And the Bible is sitting here telling us in 2 Corinthians, our weapons can't be carnal. That's not warfare in the spirit. That's in the natural. So it's going to be willpower. You're going to constantly struggle in sin. You're going to struggle in the same stuff. You can't walk in deliverance. You're not going to even be able to change, because if you could change yourself, what would you need the power of God for? That is why you must plug in with a ministry or a place where the power of God is in operation, where confidence in the Spirit is being taught and not confidence in the flesh. Confidence in God and His Word is being taught and not confidence in emotions and feelings. Come on, y'all. Listen to what I'm saying. Deliverance is not done by you. It's done by the Spirit of God. That is why you must walk in the power of God. And listen to this. Deliverance doesn't make you better. It just keeps you safe. And this, you know, happens to a lot of people when they go to religious churches where, you know, the saver you are, the louder you have to be. And, you know, to prove that you really saved, you got to squawk like the rainforest and make noises and all that junk going on during the service. Preacher can't even preach because it sound like, you know, Lion Country Safari up in there. People trying to prove how saved they are. One side is against the other side, and they just battling with noises, and then the noises not working, so they gonna get up and out dance each other and out holler, and then somebody's gonna have to dive in the drums and prove they can get up without any cuts from the cymbals or something, you know, just competing to prove something when that doesn't prove anything at all. That's just pure religion. The proof is in the pudding. For real, y'all. The proof is in the pudding. And that is, how much Jesus do you really possess to deal with your family, to deal with your spouse, to deal with the situations you're in? Are you walking out deliverance? That is the true story. You can make all the noises. You can sound like a wild buzzard if you want to. But if you're not walking in deliverance, then you're just making crazy noises and you're not proving anything to anybody. That is religion. And growing up sometimes in religious atmospheres, it will cause you to feel like you have a deficit in your life, like you don't have enough Jesus, because you're walking out deliverance. And it is a process for you, whereas some people will say, you know, once I got saved, I never wanted to ever do anything wrong again. Well, I got news for you. They're lying. That's a lie. That is not true, because their flesh, as long as they're wrapped in that flesh body, they're going to be tempted. They're going to sin, and they're going to go through some things. So we have to get a grip on that so we can understand, no, that is not what deliverance does. It doesn't make you better where you can stand on a pedestal and claim to have something that others don't have, or claim to, you know, be better because you haven't done A, B, and C. Well, I know that you've done G or H or another one of the alphabets. So just because you haven't done A, B, and C doesn't make you any better. All deliverance does is it keeps you safe. It keeps you safe from harm. It keeps you in the care of God, because when you're on the devil's territory, when you're not delivered, when you're operating in sin or walking in the flesh, you're going to fall. You're going to hurt yourself. You might die. The wages of sin is death. So God wants to keep you safe. So he wants you to walk out deliverance, meaning your mind is changed and your mind is on you, allowing the Spirit of God to help you overcome the situations that you are in. Being delivered from something can't make you better than anyone else, because deliverance is not time stamped. It is real time. And you got to get that in your mind. Deliverance is not time stamped. God is not saying, okay, you're delivered from that. You'll never deal with that again. That'll never come back again. You'll never have those thoughts. No, that's not how it works. It's not time stamped, but it is real time. Meaning God is not going to remove temptation. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to give you the power and the strength to resist it. That's why he said, if you submit yourself to him and resist the devil will flee from you. Romans 3:9 says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. So this is telling us now, your religiosity doesn't make you better than anybody. Your 20-year-old deliverance where you have never done anything wrong, that doesn't make you any better than anybody. I tell everybody all the time, you one sin away from sinning. And that's what you need to realize. It's the power of God that keeps us saved. None of us are perfect. The only perfect being that ever dwelled on the earth was the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you aren't any better. So stop saying that. You got to make room for those that are coming up. Now, this doesn't give them an occasion to sin. We're not giving people an occasion to do wrong and say, well, everybody's going to do wrong. No, we're not saying that. But we're saying you're walking out deliverance. So if you do stumble, if you do fall, if you do go back, you got to dust yourself off. You got to get back up on that horse and you got to ride forward. Keep your eyes, keep focused. And you know, the most important thing, you got to find out what caused you to fall. How did you even get in that situation? Which is what I want to talk about right now before we bring this broadcast to a close. And that is three tips on walking in deliverance, so that when you fall into temptation, when you find yourself up against what you said you'd never do again, up against what had you bound before, here are three tips to help you and secure you during that time. The first tip, prayer, fasting, and reading the word with understanding brings power to your life. Now, y'all, I know that sounds like a cliche and folks don't even like to hear that anymore, but prayer, you got to have a prayer life. Fast, you got to push the plate away at certain times, and reading the word with understanding. You got to understand what you're reading. This brings power to your life. This charges your battery, your spiritual battery, so to speak. You gotta stay in fellowship with God. You will not resist temptation. You won't make it. You're gonna fall for everything under the sun if you don't lock in with God and get a relationship with Him through prayer, fasting, and reading and understanding His word. Without these, you are stuck with your willpower, which is your power, and you will fail because the flesh is wired to let you down. The flesh is wired to fail you. The flesh is wired to go against God. The Bible tells us that it wars against the Spirit of God. So the flesh is wired wrong. So if you're trying to use the flesh to stand up to sin and temptation, you're going to fail. You got to pray. You got to fast, and you got to read the word with understanding. Romans 7 and 18 says, "For I know that in me," this is what Paul is saying, "that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not in my flesh." There is no good thing in your flesh. It's the Spirit of God that wills you to do what is right. But if you're not in tune with the Spirit, if you're not yoked up with Him, if you're not fasting, praying, and reading and understanding the word, then you're not going to be in the position to resist temptation or sin when it appears to you. Your flesh is going to want to go for it, and your flesh will let you down every time. The second tip I want to give you, a good fellowship with like-minded believers is essential to give you support, strength, and words of wisdom when needed. Listen, do not pick a church that's going to let you get away with everything, y'all. Do not pick a church where the pastor is not challenging you on living right and doing what's right. Do not get a church that's all about the money. You need to go somewhere where there are like-minded believers or even believers that desire to do what is right. That will spark it in you. That will ignite you. You will ignite each other and keep each other lifted up and keep each other pushing forward. You don't want to go to a place where the pastor's all in sin all the time and everybody's jacked up. You want to go where deliverance is being taught and the word of God is uncut and not edited and the truth is there. You know, I had somebody tell me the other day, you know, we were talking and they were talking about movie stars and different ones, and they were saying, well, this particular movie star, I believe that they would really be saved if they were under the right pastor. The pastor they under, he's jive and he's all in the movie stars and everything. He's not giving them anything to stand on. He's not helping them. If they were under a good pastor, I believe they'd be saved. And I had to correct them and say, you know what? That's not true. They're under the wrong pastor because they don't want to be saved. They chose that pastor. Understand, the Bible says that people will heap upon themselves teachers. That means they're going to select the teachers that will teach what they want to hear. They will have the itching ears to hear what they want to hear that will coincide with the lifestyle they want to live. Listen, you can't feel sorry for folks because they go to a sorry church. You can't feel sorry for folks because they're being bamboozled and hoodwinked by the preacher. No, they chose that place. They chose that level of deceit. They chose that strong delusion. They desired to be where there would be no challenges. They won't be challenged to do better, and they won't ever be better. The Bible says they're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. These are the sorts that creep into the houses of silly women, but the silly women let them in. You got to understand that. So people are going after what they want. So they go to these churches on purpose so that they don't have to be accountable for what they're doing. But on that great day of judgment, they're going to have to stand before God and give an account for choosing a place where carnality was celebrated and the Spirit of the Lord was not. And the last tip I want to give you on walking in deliverance is you got to change things. Listen, when you give the Lord Jesus Christ your life, when you come do altar call, when you are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and you get the power of God in your life, when you turn your life over to God, the spiritual work has been done and God has saved you and the Spirit of God comes in your life. But don't you understand, if you don't change your friends, if you don't change some of those bookmarks on your computer, if you don't delete some some of that Facebook stuff, MySpace stuff, if you don't get away from the folks or lay aside the weight that so easily besets you, like the word says, if your surroundings, your actions, your mindset, your attitude, your decision making, and all those things don't change, you're going to end up right back where you started. And you can claim Jesus Christ all you want, but if you don't make changes in your life to accommodate the power of God, you're going to find yourself in a serious struggle. That's why Romans tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. This means that new things, renewing, new thoughts. You have to change what you're watching, what you're listening to. You have to change where you're going, who you're hanging around. You got to change what you used to do and start doing the things that will keep you walking in the Spirit of God. Why would you do things that war against your plight to do better? If you want to be better in this life, if you want to be better in Christ, if you want Christ to change you and walk, you want to walk truly in deliverance and in the Spirit of God, why would you do things, go places, and accept things that are against the Spirit? Why are you making a war within your own self and fighting against your own agenda? Understand what I'm saying. You can't do that. You have to give up all and follow what God says. You have to give up all to walk in deliverance. So let's understand this. And then I'm bringing this to a close. Deliverance is a state of walking. It is a state of walking. We walk out deliverance. It's daily. Paul says, I die daily to the things of the flesh, to the things of the world. I'd have to die daily, meaning new things come. And you may be delivered from something and never do it again, but new things will come and you're going to have to walk deliverance out in those things. You got to understand your flesh is your flesh and it's going to desire things that are contrary to the will of God. So if we're going to walk out deliverance, we have to walk in the Spirit. And we have to live in the Spirit, and then we will not have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this word, God. I know it was a simple word, but God, I believe it's powerful. I believe many are struggling. Many grew up thinking that if they make a mistake again in the same situation like I did, I had a lady, God, just tell me that I had sinned too much, and she told me that 70 times 7 was all I got, and I had gone over my quota, and there was no hope for me. And I spent 3 years of my life believing that I was reprobated and God didn't want me, that I believe that you didn't want me anymore, God. But I know now that you love me. You love us all, and you have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You have no pleasure in us dying in our sin. You have no pleasure in us walking around in sin and you not accepting us. God, you want us. That's why you sent your Son Jesus to die. You want to redeem us from sin. You want to save us from sin. You love us and you care for us and you want to get us out. So I pray right now, God, if there are any that are struggling like I was struggling, if there are any that's getting bad advice like that was given to me, God, I pray that you will open their eyes and their minds and their hearts so they can see that you love them and you have a way that they can walk out deliverance, God, that they can walk with you. They can read your word. They can pray and they can fast and they can get close enough to you to walk through that temptation that used to get them. God, they can walk through that situation that used to try them and tempt them. They can walk straight through it, come out on the other side victorious, God. By your power, they can do it. But God, they have to get close to you and first believe that you are able to deliver us out of the hour of temptation from the snare of the enemy. God, I pray and believe it right now that we are all victorious. And if we put our trust, our faith, and our confidence in you and do the things that you've called us to do, God, we can walk this thing out. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. God, we believe it in Jesus' name. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.